Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O God, that you continue to establish your word in our lives. Father, we are gathered here because we all love you. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, washed and clothed with your Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that you continue to speak into our lives. For you're the God who is there. You're the God who hears. You're not like the false gods on this earth. They are made by men. But rather you made us. But you're the living God, the only true God who hears, who sees, who cares, and who loves. And we ask, O Lord, that we may be able to discern your voice and your words to each one of our lives. So guide us even this morning that we may hear from you. We praise you, Father, and we give thanks to you for all that you are, all that you do. We covenant, Lord, always to give glory to Jesus. And even right now, open our hearts and minds to your Spirit and to your voice, that we may discern your work and your will in our lives. We praise you, Lord, and thank you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Praise God, we are just beginning a new series on the voice of God. And I believe that it's important to hear the voice of God. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, My sheep hear my voice. And the whole basis of Christianity is not just our traditions, our customs, but basically that we can hear the voice of a living God. Now, in order to hear God's voice, we need to understand what His voice is like and how He speaks. And that's the reason for this little short series that we are doing on the voice of God. And we won't at the beginning of the time differentiate the voice of the Spirit, the voice of an angel, the voice of the Father, the voice of the Son. But we'll start from the beginning of God and how His voice works and how His voice flows into our life. And basically we pray that at the end of the series we all realize that God is speaking to each one of us. And He's even speaking right now to those who don't know Him. Except that they may not hear His voice. And the secret is to learn to hear His voice. Which is why John 10 verse 27, it did not say, My lambs hear my voice. It says, My sheep hear my voice. Which means that from the time we are a lamb until we grow to a sheep, that we are learning to hear God's voice. And we pray that as we all grow as sheep in God, that we'll learn to discern His voice more and more. If there's one thing that is a measurement of our Christian growth, besides the attributes of love and the nature of God in our lives, is a measurement of our ability to recognize God's voice. Which means that this year we should recognize God's voice more than last year. And next year we should be able to discern His ways, His working and His voice and His dealings in our lives more than we do this year. Every year we should progress. So let's start right at the beginning on the voice of God in creation today. And for some text, we want to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And the passage that we're looking at is in verse 20. It says, For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, sometimes people ask me the question, what happens if someone dies without hearing about what Jesus Christ has done? What happens if they did not hear the gospel of salvation? Well, the Bible tells us they have the gospel of creation. The moment you're born onto this earth, the gospel of creation is really speaking to us. And those who are open to what God is declaring in His creation and obey it and seek Him will be led into the gospel of salvation of Jesus Christ. So God is already speaking in His creation. And it tells us here in this particular verse, it talks about generalized man all over. Whether people know Him or not, whether people have been born again or not, whether people have met Jesus or not, in general, all mankind, it says that God has shown His creation. Through His creation, He is already speaking, so that no one can say, God, we never had a chance. God will judge all men and every single individual according to the measure of revelation they have received. But the first measure given to everyone is a measure of creation speaking to them. And one of my heroes of faith was probably gone home to be with the Lord. And his body was never found. He is a missionary in India. His name is Sadasundar Singh. And he says, there are two Bibles. One is the written word of God. The other is the creation of God. And he says this, it takes the Holy Spirit to understand what God's right. God has written in His written word. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to also interpret His creation. And all that He has created around us. That's a profound statement. That bears in line with what we say, God speaks in His creation. Another verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It says here in verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, they are made of things which are invisible. The invisible world made the visible world. Everything that we see around us, from buildings and constructions of men, exists in the thought and the mind of some human being somewhere before human beings created it. In the same manner, the things of creation that God has made around us exist in the mind of God in the spirit realm before it was created to show forth His greatness and His glory. The gospel is wonderful of all that the Lord has done. But the gospel of creation is also as wonderful. It's wonderful and powerful and revelationary enough that God demands a judgment and a response for every man who come to this earth. God demands, just like the gospel, when you preach the gospel, it demands a response. Do you believe Jesus Christ? To postpone believing is to say not believing already. There's no halfway. In the same way, creation demands a response. And the decision to respond and draw to God is a good response. A decision not to respond to the creation of God is a rejection of God already. A rejection enough to cause us to face the judgment of God. So that's what the Bible declares. Now, why are we looking at God speaking in creation? When God speaks in His various ways, sometimes when He speaks, creation echoes with His voice. Now, there are many parts of the scripture that reveals that God speaks in His creation. But I just pick up one from the book of Psalms 96. And we have been singing songs like the trees of the field will clap their hands, and the mountains will shout for joy. And if you climb a hill somewhere and put your ear to the ground, I doubt they hear it in the natural. Or have you stood under a tree and then you heard sounds of clapping to music? It must be something in the spirit that he's talking about. Let's look at Psalms 96. Just a few portions of scripture. It says here, in verse 11 and verse 12, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. Trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord. Creation cries out in praise and worship to Him. Now recently with the bushfire, creation groans. The Bible did say that creation groans in the book of Romans 8. But let's look at some passages of the Bible on God speaking and its thunderous effect on creation. One of the most famous incident is in the book of Exodus, when God gave the Ten Commandments. Let's look at the book of Exodus. And the passage that we're looking at is chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. It says here, oops, can we have the Bible up too? The Bible is up. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings, lightnings, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. So there you have lightnings, thunderings, and they also heard trumpet sound. Must it be angels whom they cannot see playing the sound of the trumpet? These are side effects. I call them echoes of the voice of God. Why do I call them echoes? It's because they are not directly the voice of God, but they are the side effects of God's presence and God's voice. And another incident is found in the book of 1 Samuel. And Israel had demanded a king. Finally, God provided a king for them. And at the time when God provided a king, Samuel delivered the coronation message. At the end of his message, when he adjured and exalted God's people to follow after God, in verse 18, verse 17 and 18, this is what Samuel says. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and He will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. Wow. Which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves. So Samuel called on the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. So you have another place where when God speaks, and God was doing His great work, there was atmospheric effect. There was lightning, there was thunder, and it was physical. It was not just some illusion or something that they saw in the spirit that was actually on a calm day. There was actually side effects, and there were real rain, real thunder that was taking place. So the whole world weather pattern was affected, or the weather pattern over the whole region where Samuel was speaking was affected. They heard thunderings and lightnings. And then you have, of course, that incident in 1 Kings 19, where Elijah was seeking after the Lord. And in fact, he was very discouraged. He was very down. And he wanted to die. And God call him into a mountain. And on the mountain, in 1 Kings 19, in verse 11, the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. So the Lord's presence. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Now, this is not just symbolic. It actually happened. The Lord's presence was so powerful that the earth quaked before Him. But the Lord was not in the wind. See, it was a side effect. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now you have the wind that was so strong and powerful. You have the earthquake that shook the place. You have actual fire taking place. That's a bushfire for you, my friends. But this is a fire on the whole mountain. But the Lord was not in it. It was just a side effect, the echoes of His presence and His voice coming forth. Bible tells us that after that there was a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went up, and stood at the entrance of the cave.